all this time, Porter. Everything you've done, everything you've said, I've heard all about. So you've made some remarks in the past about when is Papa Fritz going to be here. Papa Fritz is here.
I'm joined by Johnny and Kelly. Johnny, how you doing?
I'm doing okay. I had a bit of a stomach bug last night after Elimination Chamber. And I don't know if I caught a bug or it was the pizza that I got.
Or is it watching current wrestling? Oh, boom, boom, bam.
Finally. Oh, couldn't stomach it anymore.
Well, let me just say
literally.
This. Well, that's
finally.
I had a really great time watching the show. But here's the thing. It passed, or at least the main event passed the most important test to me. My roommates, who aren't fans, sat down and got invested. And when it got to Kofi and Brian, they were right around the couch and super invested into it and cheering and booing and having a great time. So I was like, mission accomplished. It got the...
I heard that was well done. I heard that was well done. I haven't seen it, so I don't know. But
it was... Well, you know, don't... It was good. It was good. Kelly, me and Kelly, I think, both agree. We both, I went out to have a smoke during the Baron Corbin part, and I'm sure that's what you did too. But otherwise, the show was good.
Yeah, I thought it was a good show, and the main event was really, really good.
Okay. Well, off of that, Kelly, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, man.
That's awesome. All right, guys, we're looking at World Class Championship Wrestling number 74, May 28th, 1983. And before we get into that, I actually have been going back and looking at the old Mid-Atlantic, and I have been watching the build, I watched the build to Race and Flair to Starrcade, and by God, they did a very similar angle that World Class did in 82 with the Carey and Flair, but the roles were reversed, where Flair was the champion in 82 in Texas, while Race is the champ. They did a bounty angle. I got to say, Mid-Atlantic did it much, much better.
Yeah, yeah.
Flair was way more sympathetic as a babyface than Carey because he cut his own promos. And, you know, that helped.
I would hope so.
You know? And the promos between Race and Flair were incredible on the build. While on World Class, the promos on Flair's end were awesome. But Carey was just garbage. Hot garbage. And then the Carolina, the payoff, of course, was better because Flair, the babyface, got to go over and win the world title.
Right.
And here, Carey, they came up with the angle with the Freebirds, which, of course, sparked business.
Yeah.
It worked. But it just the whole way the Carolinas one played out would just seem so much better with the promos and the injured Flair where Orton turns on him, and they had a picture of Orton holding, I think it was Reed or Megan, one of the two, just like a couple weeks before. And then he turns on Flair for the bounty with Slater, and they go after his neck. And Flair announces his retirement, but then he comes back at the last minute, and there's a swerve, and he's like walking tall. Dick, what's his name? From the Walking Tall movies,
Buford Posey.
Yeah, with the baseball bat, chasing Slater and Orton out. And, you know, we didn't see any of that type of fire from Carey when he got the bounty put on him. So I felt Mid-Atlantic took what World Class did, but just tweaked it and just made it work a little better. But for both sides, business did really well on both ends. So it was just interesting. Have any of you guys watched the Carolina, the Harley Race build lately or anytime or anything you could feel comfortable talking about it?
Well, just, of course, the famous promo. We've all talked about that. You know, take the damn money, you know. And
yeah.
And I've seen highlights. You know, I've seen clips, but not in week-to-week television, no.
Yeah, that, I mean, that's what makes the network so awesome, because now we have all that stuff where you can go to, and it's really interesting watching Mid-Atlantic, actually, because I watched I was watching the Steamboat Youngblood breakdown versus Briscoe's and the Valentine Piper, and those were the big three feuds pretty much from like June, May, or probably about April, May, all the way up to Starrcade. And it was really fascinating watching them peak in the valleys. Like, they started the Briscoe's one first, and that carried business for a while. And then you could see Piper started to peak a little bit, and then that started doing some business. And then the Flair Race was the one, the key component, where it led into Starrcade, while, like, the Briscoe's Youngblood kind of ran out of steam probably about September, October. So then they started hot-shotting the belts at around that time to make their match important at Starrcade, where it was like finally, you know, for the last type of chance type of thing. But the whole entire 83 watching the race Flair thing was, it was just like really, really strong stuff. Except for the match wasn't, I mean, the match was good, but it wasn't like, you know, it wasn't as strong as like the Kerry Rick one. Now, Kelly, have you watched any of those?
Oh yeah, yeah. I've seen, of course, Starrcade. I've seen the really, really awesome it's a 2 out of 3 falls too, isn't it? The one in August between Flair and Race?
No, well, there's highlights of one that's 2 out of 3.
Well, I've seen the one from August that's long and really
good.
Yeah,
that's really good. That's a really good match.
Yeah, and I've seen promos. But no, not the week-to-week TV. Pete, you're not going to leave Johnny and I for Mid-Atlantic, are you?
No, boys.
Sounds like you got a new lover and World Class is going to get tossed in the trash.
Well, it's just me. I think it's just cool with the Hidden Gems popping up, boys. And I'm trying to watch the talent. Like always, I'm always big. I'm like Johnny. Yeah. I love angles. I love promos that go with the matches. Because, like, I mean, honest God, if people... That Hidden Gem that they put up of Youngblood and Steamboat versus Briscoe's, it's a really good match without the promo, without the angles and stuff. But by God, if you get the angles and everything, you see exactly. I mean, my God, the heat on Jay Youngblood, they're trying to injure his ribs, and then on the television, like a month later, they end up breaking his ribs. So that was like a psychology of them doing that to match at the beginning of the angle. The Briscoes accidentally hurt Steamboat's leg, but then the big turn was that they intentionally did it, and then all Steamboat's heat come back, and his shine was working over their legs and trying to hurt their legs. So it just, like, it's really, if you really get to watch the angles and the build to it, it just adds so much more to that Hidden Gem match and stuff. So I'm really digging into that. But hey, we're World Class. We are looking at episode number 74, so let's get right into it, guys. Chris Adams versus Johnny Mantell. I can already see this is Kelly. You hated this match.
Well, I just want to. We'll back up just a tad bit. I wanted to comment on the opening montage that still hasn't been updated. Featuring
that's called being lazy, and that's them,
the stars of 1982 World Class. And then second of all, Bill Mercer is back, and yeah, he's rocking a mustache now. Yeah, baby,
he's just got a stash, and I, for whatever reason, I have memories of his Slave Auctioneer beard. I have memories of his full beard. I don't remember him with just the stash. It took me aback.
Well, yeah, I mean, sure, we have Freebirds versus Von Erichs, but I think the second most compelling storyline in World Class is Bill Mercer's struggle over finding the right facial hair.
Yeah. Also, in the beginning, when they're showing highlights, and Kevin Von Erich, and it's a picture of Kevin doing something, and David Von Erich, and it's him slapping the shit out of Sunshine's ass.
Yes.
Boom, boom, boom. You know, where he says, and then we see David in the role of disciplinarian. I'm like, ugh. Yeah. You know, with his creepy mustache saying disciplinarian while David assaults a woman. Is
yeah, he's probably at home watching it over and over again. Yeah.
Well, they've gotten a lot of mileage out of that clip. We see it on both episodes.
Both shows. Oh, no, it's, you know, instead of showing David Von Erich riding a horse or David Von Erich beating someone up, it's David Von Erich assaulting a woman. That's what they're going with for the opening of every show.
Yeah, he's probably in the booth. Can we get a close-up of Sunshine getting spanked again? Let's get a really tight angle on that.
Oh, my.
He is a producer.
Yes. Anyway, the match, well, geez. Anyway, let's see. Oh, back to Mercer. He makes a pretty funny comment about Adams being from Stratford upon Avon.
Yes.
Where of course, that was where Shakespeare was born. And he makes the comment, but he never wanted to become an actor, with no sense of irony at all. That's basically what Chris Adams is. Anyway, I thought that was hilarious. And he mentions it in another match, too. Lots of mat work at the beginning that I liked. I thought it was good. Mattel's good at working the mat. And then there was also some clunky work because these guys haven't wrestled each other very often. That's obvious. Some timing issues. And then we get, God damn it, time limit draw with Johnny Mantell. I mean, come on. I know it's he's the brother of the booker.
But, I get that. Do you think what they're trying to do, because we've seen this a lot with Adams right now when they're starting off, is, you know, they have the big baby faces with the Von Erichs. They've been pushing Iceman hard. Do you think they're just trying to show off Adams' wrestling thing right now, and maybe they didn't see anything in Adams right off the bat? Seems like he has gimmick, good wrestler, or a unique wrestler.
No, I think they saw something in him because they featured him on every show. They had the T for two with Mercer bit vignette.
Just trying to push him then differently than Iceman. Hotshotting him yet. And he really doesn't have he has the shitty Mongo feud.
Yeah.
But, I mean, really, when you think about it, there's a lot of people tied up in feuds right now where it's hard to push the guy when you think about it.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. They may be waiting until a few of the feuds run their course, and then Adams will get more of a push.
Yeah, he'll get a shot at Jimmy Garvin, yeah.
Yeah, I just, you know, a time limit draw, why, really? I mean, he should go over. It's not like Johnny Mantell's is equal in any way as far as the booking goes.
I agree with that. Do you think also that's a formula for WCCW? They do these time limit draws?
Yeah, it's a default.
Might be a booking crutch for him, you know?
I don't know. Yeah, it's not as bad as it was when Hart was around, it seems.
Right.
But it's still there, yeah. Anyway, yeah, I'm not going to get too snarky about the whole thing, but I just felt that there was no need. I thought Adams was actually going to win with, like, seconds left. I thought that's what they were going to go for. So they got me. anyway.
I think they're trying to portray an honorable babyface type of match, babyface match.
Yeah.
And right now, yeah, Adams is higher on the pecking order, but when you think about it, Adams is, what, the fifth babyface, and Mantell is probably six. So they're really pretty interchangeable. Yeah, but Adams has a lot more upside, I will say that. I enjoyed the 80s style mat work to start with the chain wrestling, and I liked Adams busting out some of those World of Sports spots. It's really cool. It gives the match a little bit of a wow factor to it. Yeah. Adam's working the arm. Digging the ways Adam hooks on the arm, wrist submissions, which actually goes back to about Mercer interviewing him and talking about how his brother is an Olympic guy who teaches arm lock submissions and stuff. So I thought that was kind of cool going to that. You see Mantell work in the back. I mean, the bottom line, I thought it had good psychology. It was a good babyface match. I can understand, I mean, totally not digging the Mantell character because doesn't scream star or anything, but I think he's a good solid hand in the ring. I don't think he should be working Adams for the draw. I mean, don't get me wrong. But I thought they had a fun opening draw. I mean, we've seen some shitty time limit draws, and I thought they at least filled the time and kept it interesting. What about you, Johnny? Where do you fall on this?
Well, this would take a wild guess.
I know you hated it too.
Yeah, I was with the one guy. The one guy was only one. See, what a lot of modern fans have the tendency to do is to pick out a few voices in a crowd and then claim they were the majority. I'm not doing that here, but there was one guy who at some point went, boring, and I'm like, I'm with you, brother. I'm with you. Because, yes, not my favorite type of match, but I do enjoy a good baby face trading holds and making it look good, and nothing about Mantell to me looks good. His face, his dumb hair, his stupid fucking singlet, nothing about him. I can't stand him. So the only other thing is, you know who's the wrong referee for a match where you're going to start doing lots of fast near falls? It's Bronco. he was trying to have to figure out not to get down on his knees constantly, just to lean forward and get one. I hate to say it, but this is more of David Manning's forte if you're going to do this shit. So, in my opinion, hated it.
I can see that. And it's funny that Mantell honestly got his biggest push came in California with under a hood. That says something. Then we get highlights of Kevin Flair from that special show. Johnny, any hot thoughts on the highlights or anything?
No, I to be honest, I fast forward. We saw it all. And we already talked about it.
Yeah. Okay, that's it. All right. And then we get this. Fans get to pick Iceman's opponent between Hayes versus Roberts in a captain's match.
No. Here's how it's so confusing. It was. And listen to how Lorenz described it twice. He calls it the People's Choice for Captain Representation Match, or the People's Choice Captain's Representation Match Selections. And it wasn't pick him so I can get my hands on him. He's like, I need you all to vote for me, Iceman, and Buddy to be the captains of what? I have no idea what they're the captains of, because David's there and Hayes is there. And then there's the six-man later, and they're in that. I'm like, are they the captains of their teams? If so, why weren't Kevin and Terry Gordy eligible to be captains? It's so convoluted. It doesn't fucking matter because it gets you where you want to go. It was one of those super convoluted world-class fucking gimmick matches that doesn't really make any sense.
That's a good observation, Johnny. What about you, Kelly? Any thoughts on this?
Well, yeah, I was going to ask you, Pete, about the whole captain's match gimmick. I know it was a feature of World Class, right?
It was a feature of World Class. I don't think it really meant anything.
Here it didn't at all. I thought it was going to play into the six-man tag, but it doesn't.
No, they don't even play it like Lucha rules, where if you pin the captain, it counts twice.
Whatever. I thought there was going to be some way to tie it into the six-man, but there wasn't. But it was fine. I mean, the fans, they obviously, of course, wanted a Buddy versus Iceman match. Mm-hmm. You know, the way Lawrence led the crowd, like when he asked, do you want David Von Erich? He kind of just like mumbled his name. Anyway, I thought that was funny. And then we get the match everyone wants to see, because Iceman had his haircut recently by Buddy. And then this is, you know, Iceman's pissed, goes for revenge right from the get-go. Buddy, as always, is soaked in sweat within seconds of the match. And then it's a squash match, essentially. Iceman wins with the butt really quick.
Do you think it's because he's hungover? or combination of hungover and hot in the building.
Sweating out the Jack Daniels.
Out the Jack Daniels, man. It smelled like a distillery in there.
Dad is probably 45 at this point, too. So.
Yeah, no, he wasn't a young man anymore. And then we get two pairs of scissors, and they're fighting over it. And Mercer compares this to swordplay in the 17th century. Specifically the 17th century.
It's very. It's a little known fact that tinier swords were a thing in the 17th century.
Mercer's on fire tonight.
And you know, there's no way this angle with the running around with scissors would ever, ever be on WWE TV at this point.
What, now?
Yeah.
I think they wouldn't have a problem with Running with Scissors, considering everything else. He really overplays the danger of Running with Scissors. No, no. Now, what they won't do on WWE TV is a vignette where someone goes swimming before an hour, and without waiting an hour after eating.
That's the true killer. Yeah, so this was cathartic for the fans. Iceman cut off some of Buddy's hair. The crowd went nuts. But, of course, this is just a tease. The feud's still going. So for what it was fine. It was just fun, like, right? Johnny said, confusing with the captain's rules that made no difference or didn't play into the main event at all.
Yeah, I thought the match was fun. I thought Parsons, like, that was one stiff slap by Parsons in the match. Yeah. I like all the pulling of the hair by Parsons because we're talking, you know, they're building to a hair match. The eye rake, I liked how it set up Buddy's heat. And fun little bout. And then you get Ice gets a little bit of revenge getting some hair. And again, because that's what they're building to, so it makes sense. Johnny, any thoughts on the match, brother?
Just added, apparently the Freebirds got their scissors from my mom's junk drawer. She had those, and lots of people did. The big scissors with the orange plastic handles.
Yes.
Everyone had those, mother. My mom had those.
Oh, we have some.
Yeah, well, and the good guys had ones with purple handles. I don't know where you get those. And we already talked about the captain's match nonsense. I hate the way Bill pronounces the butt-butt. And just, I know that I'm nitpicking. He pronounces it butt-butt. He has his finishing move, the butt-butt, and then the finishing move happens. He goes, the butt-butt, and I'm like, it's everything about you.
Can I get a close-up on Sunshine's butt-butt?
That's
God, hold on. Because I got one more thing. Charlotte and Sharon in the crowd. Did you see them?
Yes.
See the ladies? The Freebirds have some fans. These are the free. Look, maybe Buddy's old lady couldn't make it to the matches. But the other two did, because Buddy and his old lady stayed up later getting too fucked up. And that's why he's all sweaty. She's sleeping in the back of that Freebird van. But Charlotte and Sharon show up. And Charlotte has a shirt that says, Charlotte loves Terry Gordy. And Sharon has a shirt that says, Sharon loves Michael Hayes. And I loved it. I thought it was great. And he acknowledged it, Mercer did. He's like,
yeah. I probably ran into them at the Hall of Fame 2 years ago.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Dude,
and
at
some point during the match, Hayes, I guess, maybe gets a little too close with some fans. And there's an altercation, and they pull the camera away, but you clearly hear someone yell, fuck you, and security running over to where Hayes is, and they move it away. So hopefully Charlotte and Sharon didn't start making their way over there to kick some fucking ass. Don't you touch my man. But I love homemade. When you see homemade T-shirts back in the day, that's commitment to being a fan, because that takes going to the mall or the boardwalk and having that made for you instead of just buying it at the show.
You had to go to the mall, or you had to go to the sporting goods store.
Yeah, the sporting goods store.
Yeah, I miss those things, man.
Yeah. One last thing. Mercer is talking about, not to pile on. Yeah, I am piling on. He's talking about the upcoming match with Flair and Kevin. And as he's describing it, he's like, it's going to be wild. It's going to be crazy. There'll be not this. And there'll be no disqualification. And if Ric Flair gets disqualified, Kevin wins the title. He just said it was a no DQ match.
Only Kevin can't get disqualified. They're really stacking the deck this time.
Well, it won't matter because Flair loses the title before that. Anyway.
Pete just spoiled it.
Spoiler alert!
Oh my!
Main event time, Johnny. What's going on at Pro Wrestling Only, brother?
Oh, right here. Well, WorldCast is a member of the Pro Wrestling Only podcast family. Check out ProWrestlingOnly.com to explore other podcasts along with match reviews, features and retrospectives, reviews of wrestling books and video games, and of course, wrestling matches. That's ProWrestlingOnly.com, the only place to be in your... Oh, wait, no, that's wrong. That's ProWrestlingOnly.com, where it's Pro Wrestling Only. And speaking of other podcasts, what do we got, Pete? Not Pete. Kelly, I've been sick, people. I've been sick all day.
Well, Johnny, I have a couple plugs for the feed. First up, Strong Style Story, episode 49. This is the New Japan podcast on the feed. It's Jeffrey and Chris, and they're looking this time at New Beginnings, the latest. I guess it was a series of shows, right, Pete?
Yeah, they do. They run like two or three, and they have like a really strong main event, usually one or two matches on top, and then you get the usual crapola undercard.
Okay. But the big news, of course, is Jay White defeated Hiroshi Tanahashi for the IWGP title, and that was controversial in some circles, that's for sure. And
online, for sure.
Online, you know, where else, yeah.
See, you just see. I misheard you for a second, and I thought you said JYD won the IWGP. And I was like, "Wait, what's going on in Japan?" I don't pay attention.
Oh yeah, no, he didn't die in the '90s. He's just been working Japan for the last.
Exactly. Oh, okay. You've been under the hood.
Yeah. I'd finally unmasked. It was a 20-year-long build.
Maybe stuff. If he was
he's been staggeredly in Japan.
See, that explains it all.
Oh, God. Greetings from Allentown this week with Peter Winson. It's looking at a show we've all seen, I'm sure. Saturday Night's Main Event, October 5th, 1985. Pretty famous one. It starts off with Hogan versus Volkoff, but it ends with Uncle Elmer's wedding.
Yes, it does.
Classic bit of TV there.
I remember where I was and who I was watching that with. That's how much of an effect that show had on me.
Wow. That's great. Peter, I can't wait to hear this one. It should be hilarious. And Pete, what's on This Week in Wrestling?
Well, we had Dan Scotty on from Pizza Wrestling, Pizza Party Wrestling, that's running Wednesday of Mania Week, headlined by a really strong, on paper, what could be the best match of the week with Fred Yehi versus Danny Makabe.
Oh, yeah.
And, had him on for about 30 minutes talking about the show, what's going on, if the pizza's free or not, and a lot of other things. And then we covered a little bit of my roadie down to SCI and Action Wrestling and Making Towns. Just glance on that because I'm sure we're going to review the shows in more in depth. So we just scratched the surface, and just want to say I had one hell of a time down there. Mango margaritas, people. Nice. We did a 5-hour road trip to Charlotte, and man, and it felt like.
Oh, wait! What was she wearing? Her T-shirt that says she loves Terry Gordy.
Yeah,
5 hours with her. Oh my!
Yeah, boy. But it felt like a real wrestling road trip because we're talking. Because it was me, JB, and Johnny P. Johnny P. You guys know he did the documentary for ECW, so you're talking ECW.
I've done a few podcasts. I'm talking
Carolinas, and JB and I are talking Smoky Mountain wrestling because we're going through Smoky Mountain area, and we're just talking wrestling the whole entire time. And it was actually a fan. Because we decided to go drive with him. He lives in Charlotte, and our flights were leaving from Atlanta to Charlotte, connecting, and we decided just to drive with him instead of flying the first leg from Atlanta in, and we just had a blast. It was really one of the funnest car rides I've ever been on. Then we reviewed NXT, NXT UK, and Southern Underground Pro, I Am King, headlined with Nick Gage and Brett Eisen match. And you can hear our thoughts on the show. Back to you.
Wow, that's great stuff.
Well, Pete, let me ask you this one thing. I would imagine that car ride was, that sounds fantastic. You should have recorded that. Cause I've done a show or two with Johnny P, and he's amazing. Did he fill you with memories of wrestling in Philadelphia? Cause he's the man for those.
Oh yeah. No, I mean, I maybe you don't know this, but me and Johnny P, he's been my traveling mate for like the last four WrestleMania.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so, and like in this year, I'm staying at his place in Philly.
Nice.
So I'm sure we'll.
Awesome.
And I know we're going to drive by the old ECW arena and, of course, grab a cheesesteak at one point. We have Johnny P and I go.
Okay.
We've done the Mania traveling from Dallas to New Orleans to Dallas, New Orleans. Florida.
Orlando.
Now we'll be in New Jersey, New York.
That's awesome.
Can you stop by my dad's house and tell him I said
saying, aren't you moving back to Philly anytime soon?
Booking plans change, my friend.
Yeah. Some horns pop up.
Yeah. What? No.
Jesus Christ.
But hey, man, we're back to the main event, folks. And we have the Kevin Von Erich, David Von Erich, and Iceman King Parsons versus the Freebirds, Kelly. What do you think of the match, man?
Oh, I really like this match. Yeah, this is big time main event. Smoking hot crowd, of course. And, you know, they get into it, the wrestlers, before the bell even starts. So you got this real feel of a bunch of grudges meeting here. I love that. And yeah, there was a lot of stalling before the bell officially rung by the Freebirds, and that just got the crowd hotter and hotter. They're on their feet the whole time. So many chants. This was great stuff. And then it's worked really well. The faces get a great long shine in at the beginning with the birds doing a lot of bumping and stooging. And then eventually the birds take over and get heat on David. And this is a long beatdown of David. I really like this. They really built up the hot tag spot really well.
You know, yeah. I'm going to interrupt real quick. David, by far, and I'll ask both of you thoughts before you finish up, Kelly. I think David is the best of the three Von Erichs as a face in peril in a tag match.
Oh, yeah.
Kevin never had the patience for it.
No.
And Kerry just didn't understand. Kerry could do it, but he didn't quite understand the nuances like David did when it came to, and I think Kerry's a better worker than David. I think Kerry had more high-end stuff than David. But I thought David understood the mechanics of wrestling. And sometimes it didn't translate all the time. But, like, here it really did.
Yeah.
What's your thoughts on that, Kelly?
Yeah, I would agree with that. Here, yeah, this was really good face and peril work by David. Got really good sympathy. He took a great beat down. Not even really any hope spots. So maybe, like, one. It was a long beat down. And, yeah, he was perfect for this for sure.
What do you think of the three brothers because of the face and peril work?
Well, just get to back to Dick, just David, because you're spot on with everything else. The only thing I can add is I would imagine he knows the mechanics more, because while Kevin and Kerry did travel outside as much, David did more. And was more the student of that style.
Yeah, you know, got to work with the Funks particularly.
Or work with sympathetic baby faces that he worked with in Florida and shit like that. And I think he had more of a mind to absorb that sort of thing, which is again.
And he got to work more heel than the other two, by far.
Which is again, I know that a lot of people, us included, have been like, oh, no way was David the chosen one. Obviously, it was Kerry based on what we saw in 82. But you don't send a guy out like that to learn with those people and play heel as much as he did. You know, as we all know, Kerry's just like, I'm going to put a roach clip in my hair and I'm a bad guy now, you know, but David was a heel. And so that means that he might have been considered, because you have to be able to play both.
Yeah, you know, I think more in the fact that I think Fritz made Kerry the chosen one. But I think the NWA still thought David was the guy
You know what? That's a very good point. Fritz has chosen one, Kerry. NWA is like, hey, Fritz, if it's going to be any one of these kids, it's going to be David. That's a good point.
I think the fans also chose Kerry too as their favorite.
Okay, that's fair. But it didn't hurt that he got a better push. Okay, now finish up here. I'm sorry, Kelly.
No problem. No. That was great. This is actually where the fans got a little too excited at ringside with Hayes.
My notes actually spilled through from the captain's match into this. So, yeah, I was all over the place. You're right.
Yeah. No, and this is, the note I made was just, fuck, this is heated. Like, this could have, you know, they were maybe not, like, I won't say on the verge of a riot, but they were really, really worked up here. And this was, of course, during David playing Face in Peril, so they're really getting heat. Santa Claus fan at ringside, he's going to have a heart attack. He's so wound up at this point. He just reminded me of this one fan from when I was young, going to shows in Calgary that was like the same age and would just totally be immersed in it and be just frothing at the mouth at the heels cheating. And it was just flashbacks to that guy. And then hot tagged Iceman. And then we get a big brawl with all six men basically right after the hot tag. And then we get a tainted win for the heels with Buddy getting a shot in on Iceman, leading to a tainted pin by Gordy. And my overall thoughts, I thought this was a great action-packed match, great booking, because Iceman got the win over Buddy earlier, got a measure of revenge, but now the birds are right back on top, get their heat back, and this was a really good main event. I put 3.5 stars on this one.
That's exactly what I went. I went 3.5 stars.
There we go.
I liked, like you were saying, I really liked the shenanigans, how this started. And we didn't get enough of this match ever. I don't think ever in WCCW. We'll find out as we go along. But I actually love the Gordy and Iceman interactions, especially that headbutt spot.
Right. Yeah,
but I don't think this is a match that they played much in WCCW. We'll see. I'm with you. I thought David was incredible at the Face in Peril, and I thought he was spot on at it. And I loved how the ref missed the tag spot. I'm always a sucker for that.
Yep.
It just gets so much heat. If you do it right. And I thought the finish was great, just like you, Kelly. Yeah, man, the strong stuff, the end of the show. What about you, Johnny, man? Where are you falling on this, brother?
Well, I think the fact that my notes just bled right in, and then it was just the comments about the two chicks and whatever, was I was just into the match. You know, I made my notes on what made me giggle and laugh, and otherwise I was just into it because it was hot and it was action-packed and... I was like, oh, I just put my pen down and enjoy some fucking wrestling, you know, and you guys explained it all. So I don't really have anything to add.
You know, yeah, I got you. Overall thoughts, I mean, I think I like this show more than you guys did, where I thought we got a wild variety of stuff. I mean, we got the Adams Mantell. Yeah, the finish could have been, you know, done better than a draw, but I felt we got a nice technical match. I enjoy that they pushed the highlights of the Kevin Flair because that's the big feud that with Flair coming in. The captain's thing is pretty convoluted. I enjoyed the stuff with Iceman and Buddy, and I love the main event. I mean, I thought we got a wide variety of stuff here, and I thought it was a really easy show to digest. But I can understand where you guys weren't sold on the opener. But overall, that was a really strong show.
Yeah, I did too. This is this has to be, you know, in the top matches that we've seen, really. The main event, there'd probably be only like five or six matches that we've seen that were better than this.
Right.
I think it was really good. And yeah, I mean, you had the part where you could fast forward to the Kevin versus Flair, State Fair show highlights. So this episode went by quick and it was, topped off by a great main event.
Johnny, what are your final thoughts?
Oh, yeah. For me, it's like, well, the second half of the show was great, you know, and that's for a 45-minute Saturday morning wrestling show from 1983. You're going to tell me that half of it is fucking some of the best shit you'll see? That's a winner.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. I'm with you. Oh, man, we'll wrap it up. You know, anything you got to plug, Kelly?
Throw out the old Twitter handle at MSG1880. That's the WorldCast page or whatever you call it. That's me. Yeah. Follow me.
Yep. And I check it out. I'm at Johnny Sorrow with no W, but I do have a plug. It's actually a follow-up plug. Our fellow podcast on the feed, the Military Industrial Suplex, we had talked about he was interviewing the one and only Billy Jack Haynes. And when we plugged it, we hadn't heard it yet, and I've heard it. And if you haven't listened to this, as soon as you're done here, go listen to it. Because I'm just going to say this, and everyone knows this, and the interview's out there. Billy Jack Haynes is fucking batshit insane. There's no two ways about it. There's no two ways about it. You feel very bad for the guy, and this comes through. And I'm sorry, the host's name is escaping me.
Kelly. Tom Batista.
Yes, Tom Batista. He handles this so deftly and gets a long, nearly two-hour interview out of him that I was fascinated by. And he could not have done a better job navigating interviewing someone who's bonkers.
Had a lot of pitfalls in life, right?
And bonkers and had a lot of pitfalls in life. And you'll just go listen to it. It's fantastic.
Billy Jack Haynes, Black Blood. You know, that guy had a run, dude, when you think about it. WCW, Smoky Mountain Wrestling, Portland, WWF. I'm sure he was on Georgia Championship Wrestling at some time. Florida.
World Class, wasn't he? Yeah, him and Hercules feuded in World Class and then in WWE.
And don't expect and don't expect to hear about hardly any of it.
That's true. it's pretty light on the actual wrestling. Well, the in-ring wrestling.
Aspect. Know, a lot of those old-timers forget about a lot of the stuff. Well, but it's, like Bret Hart does. I mean, that guy has a, you know, he remembers everything.
Well,
but a lot of those guys, man, it was just a job. And, you know, you don't want to even say good days and bad days.
Anyway, just please, everyone needs to check it out. It's you'll be fascinated.
Follow me at Titans O Wrestling on Twitter. And that's it, man. Have a great week. Keep on watching the wrestling. And have fun, man. Happy President's Day to everyone out there. All right, this will be after President's Day, so it's now happy belated President's Day, I guess.
And belated Family Day, too.
Family Day.
Okay, there we go, Canada. Represent, yo. Have a good one, folks. Bye-bye.
My heartaches and troubles are just up and gone. The moment that you come in view, and with your hand in mine, dear, I could dance on and on, and I could waltz across Texas with you. Waltz across Texas with you. Texas with you, like a storybook ending, I'm lost in your charms, and I could waltz across Texas with you.